Welcome to Thinking Reimagined.
Thinking Reimagined is a unique platform for thoughts-provoking intergenerational dialogue
in a diverse and inclusive setting with a focus on impactful change
in the global workplace and community.
Our stakeholders' conversations aim to spark thought,
leadership,
curiosity,
engagement,
collaboration, and learning
amongst individuals, teams, and beyond.
Enjoy this episode. And subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and other outlets. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thinking Reimagined, changing the global mindset for a better global society. This week, we've been observing the Global Entrepreneurship Week, and throughout the country, globally, people have been having discussions in their meeting places, workplaces, related to entrepreneurship, from issues of financing to women entrepreneurs to technology, and of course, how to avoid the pitfalls of entrepreneurship. On today's podcast, we're going to focus on the topic of resilient entrepreneurship, adapting to the changing global landscape. And we're going to be joined by entrepreneurs from around the globe, from Kenya to Nigeria to the United Kingdom and Brazil. Our format, as always, is a discussion. It is interactive and insightful. And so we wish to thank in advance our guest, as well as those who are joining us online. And as always, I am joined by my co-producer, Peter Armand Boyo, and Nifemi Oguntoye, my co-host. Nifemi, it's been a very interesting week. How are you?
I'm terrific, Dr. Ama. Good to see you again. Welcome, everyone, to our special broadcast. Of course, it's a broadcast. Well, happy Global Entrepreneurship Week, everyone. And we're back creating solutions for worldwide economic growth. And just like Dr. Ama said, we have a rich panel that will help us better understand these topics and also help you with your business as well as your engagement. By the way, did you know that entrepreneurs were first defined as risk takers in the late 17th century by an Irish-French economist who goes by the name Richard Cantillon. And they say with the advent of business analytics methods these days, entrepreneurs do not any longer have to hope to make profit. They easily can forecast the probability of their businesses being successful by leveraging on data. And that's perhaps one of the things we'll also be looking at in the course of the podcast today. Let me introduce our guests to you. Quite a number of them, I expect, will be joining us in the course of this conversation, but I can see Noreen already. Noreen Burrows-Casero is an international trade, strategic marketing and communication specialist with an international private enterprise and entrepreneurial background. She's also the principal consultant of a UK-based international advisory firm that she set up in 2007 called Market Accents. Noreen is passionate and committed to making a real difference, providing vision and leadership that deliver on values and goals, be it for businesses or the various initiatives she's involved in. Noreen, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to host you again. We also have joining us on this special episode of the podcast, I can see Lisa Kibutu. Lisa is a visionary leader in the field of regenerative fashion in Africa. She boasts a rich 31-year multifaceted international career spanning the fashion industry, real estate, community development, arts and culture strategy, and the list is endless. She's championed the establishment of Reface, that's a regenerative fashion collaborative exchange, the first regenerative textile industry in Africa, working closely with textile value chain stakeholders from smallholder farmers to textile manufacturers through synergizing collaborations. She has a strong academic foundation in political science and anthropology, and she's demonstrated an unwavering commitment to promoting the rich heritage of the Swahili coast through her role as vice chair of the Swahili Development Initiative. Lisa, it's good to have you join us on this episode of the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great. Good to be here, everyone. All right. Let's see. Did I say Yinka Oyegoke? Or is yet to join us, Dr. Emma?
He's here. He's right here. And Yinka is here, great. And Vanessa is here as well.
All right. So Yinka Oyegoke is a regular guest on the podcast. He's an entrepreneur, sustainable trade advocate, communications expert, and coach with over two decades experience across, you know, multiple sectors, including automotive, healthcare, and government. He's also co-founder of the Africa Sustainable Trade. Now you're gonna hear his rich voice after mine. Hi, Inka.
It's always an honor. Thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us again. Vanessa Africani. I mean, I was checking this name up earlier. I was surprised that someone actually answers Africani. So I'm curious to know if that's the name you picked up growing up, or that's actually what you were named, Vanessa.
Hello everybody. It's a family name.
It's a family name.
Yes. It's an Italian family name, but since I started to promote Africa here in Brazil and Brazil in Africa, someone with the same last name talked to me and he said, oh, did you know that we came to Italia from Africa, from the north of Africa? This is why we are Africani. So it's a family name, but we discovered recently that we came from the north of Africa to Italia.
Wow, amazing. Good to meet you, Africani. So Vanessa is a media relations specialist at FDV Europe. She's the vice president, I believe, at Chamber of Commerce Brazil Cameroon, and international business director in another organization as well. She's a mother, professional, passionate, and business promotion, international relations and communications for well over 20 years. Having worked for many sectors such as government, agro, real estate, tourism, hospitality, and a long list of other sectors. She's enthusiastic on Africa, you can tell from her name. Passionate about Brazil as well. And she's determined to make it happen and extremely, extremely dedicated to all projects that she gets involved in. We'll be hearing more from her in the course of the podcast. Vanessa, thank you so much for finding time to join us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. I guess I missed Prince Oguntayo. Has he joined us now, Dr. Emma?
No, he hasn't joined us. I'm sure he's probably dealing with internet issues because he mentioned that earlier, but he's doing his best to connect with us. But, you know, it's so wonderful to have this panel and all of the guests here. As you can see, it's a global panel today. And the topic is so dear to all of us on this panel because we're all entrepreneurs, every single one of us. And I'm sure that there's going to be a rich discussion on what does it mean to be a resilient entrepreneur these days with things so changed and varied since COVID. I mean, we still talk about things post-COVID, but the reality is the landscape and what it takes to thrive as an entrepreneur requires a real heavy dose of perseverance and resilience and transformation that's ongoing. So I'm going to really open up this discussion because where do we start? Do we talk about what resilience means to each of us? Do we talk about what it means economically?
just before you open up the conversation, I like co-producer Peter Amanboyo to help the viewers and listeners online, you know, understand how they can better participate in this very rich conversation. Peter Amanboyo is co-producer of the Think and Reimagine podcasts, as well an actor, filmmaker, art director, and a very keen professional in the entertainment industry. Please help us with the details, Uncle.
Hello. Welcome, everyone. I'm under the weather, so I'll hand it over to Dr. Awa, please.
Oh, sorry about that. All right. So if you're watching this online on LinkedIn, we're live on LinkedIn, I believe, and also perhaps on other social media platforms, you can participate in this conversation by dropping your comments as contribution, as well as questions that you would like the panelists to participate in. It's back to you, Dr. Emma.
Well, thank you very much. And once again, thank you everyone for joining us, whether you're online or here on Zoom with our guest. As I mentioned earlier, where do we start this discussion? I'm opening up the floor because we're interactive, we're insightful. We've got a lot of passion on this platform, and we want people to really engage on this topic of the resilient entrepreneur, because all of us are resilient. I know everyone here personally, and I know that it's taken a lot to redefine our businesses post-COVID, but also going forward, so that we can have not just economic success, but also carry on the intentionality, which I think is the intentionality that keeps us going as entrepreneurs. And then the goals sort of follow. But what are your thoughts? On the floor.
Yeah, I think Vanessa is also luring to speak. Should I let you go first, Vanessa?
Well, my point of view is that the feminine flexibility is what makes us resilient. I think we know how to adapt, to change, to curve, to twist. This is our power, and the adaptability also. I think the woman has this abilities, right?
Yes, I did everybody hear Vanessa? She was talking about the adaptability and the flexibility, and that women have this naturally, I think is what she is alluding to.
Yes.
Which could be very interesting, because we've got a few men on this platform, and Noreen is already smiling. So Noreen, please go ahead.
Yes, it's funny. Vanessa, I hear you with what you're saying, but I want to context this a bit. You know, having been an entrepreneur and started off as an entrepreneur way back in 2007, just before the crash, I think we have been through so much change, and nobody really knows what's around the corner. I almost feel like I'm living at the start of the industrial age, but in a digital stage. And everything that you think you know, you don't. And the resilience comes from the ability to be able to use a very hackneyed word, pivot, to know your strengths, and actually use your strengths to be able to develop the next stage in whatever you're doing. So what, if anything, the last couple of years, including COVID, and Dr. Ama was rightly alluding to the fact that that has been such a change in everybody's life. It's been a catalyst for people to rethink where they're going and what they're doing. But I think what we've actually all ended up with is stronger for knowing exactly where our strengths lie, and then being able to harness them to, I say this with a bit of trepidation, face the future, because resilience lies in being able to actually move forward whilst not losing your goal, not losing your confidence in yourself, but being able to say, I can do this and I can collaborate, I can work. And as Vanessa rightly said, women seem to have a bit of an innate ability to do this, maybe because we're always thinking of a larger, wider sphere than just ourselves. Not to say that the men don't, please. I see Lifemi has already come on screen and I'm pass over to you. I think we all have to show resilience. However, resilience comes from different areas and the position of strength is different because we're all different and unique. And I think that's something that we should be celebrating, actually, the fact we can be so resilient.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, when I think about the process of being an entrepreneur, I mean, there is a level of confidence that you must have, but also there's a level of being a visionary. You've got to be a visionary. You've got to hold on to that vision at all times, even when the wind is blowing in the opposite direction. Because what makes us resilient is really the adversity that we overcome while still keeping our eye on what it is that we intentionally want to solve. You know, all of us are entrepreneurs because we've got a solution to something. We've got a skill set. We've got a talent. We've got something that we want to do. And that really keeps us going. You know, the long hours, the times away from family, the pressure, at the same time, making sure that the team is carried along. So you almost have to not only be resilient for yourself, but to be there for the team you're working with, particularly when it's a startup, and then you move forward in unison. I have to agree that there's a lot there, isn't it? And it's not easy to be resilient. And then, of course, you've got society saying, well, why are you doing that? You can go and get a job, you know, go and get a job and earn a salary, because they miss the point that you're built for something different. And in a way, entrepreneurs are disruptors, aren't they? We are disruptors. We're trying to disrupt things because we think there's another way to do it. Please, let's engage the others in the discussion. Lisa and Yinka, join us.
Yeah, I mean, I was laughing at smiling rather when you said that thing of like, people are always telling you, go get a job. Why? I mean, if you're so stressed and everything, why don't you just get a job? No, I mean, I've not been employed since I think I was almost 30 years old. I'm now 53. So for the last 23 years, I've been doing all kinds of entrepreneurship. I'm a serial entrepreneur because, yeah, it's exactly what you said. We have all these solutions. One of the things, and I'm an empath as well, so like, you know, my mind is constantly going to all these different solutions that I see, like, you know, I keep seeing that everything is right in front of me. And then as an anthropologist and a political scientist, even just seeing, you know, what's going on in the world politically, I'm like, why can't they just do this? Why can't they just do that? That's so easy, you know, like, you know, why aren't they seeing through this? Why are they acting like my 2-year-old having a tantrum? And so sometimes I think, I mean, going back to what Noreen or had just mentioned about women, I think yes, and I see so many things sometimes in the news saying maybe it's time for women to take over, because we do see through some of these things, because I feel sometimes you're raising the entire universe in your house. I have 5 kids, so I really do feel that a lot of the time. And yeah, solutions are always at the top of my mind, and they you know, it's just always flowing in any field that I've been put in. And you can see all of us have really multifaceted experiences in our careers. I mean, my career spans over 30 years, so of course I've gotten into many different things, but there's always a solution in those spaces. And I guess that's where the resilience comes in, and the passion and the grit, the stay-to-itiveness, I would say. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. It really speaks. I have five children, so it's good to be in good company. And it is part of the entrepreneurial journey. I think for me that when I think about it, yes, women do have a natural disposition for doing multiple things, right? And I take that to amplify not just resilience, but also why diversity and inclusion is so important. I very much am where we are to where we want to be, as opposed to where we've been, all right? So if there are three pillars, you've got past, present, and future, my brain is always thinking, how can we make things better? And to do that, it's either a change or transformation. And I gave a talk on this, and most people say, well, what's the difference? And change is making something better, faster. Transformation is a caterpillar to a butterfly, a car to an aeroplane. So I think what creates resilience is purpose, knowing that you do see a vision. I often say that the how is almost a swear word. What do I mean by that? The most famous speech that resonates with me a lot of times is Martin Luther King's speech. And he says, I have a dream. And that's a vision. And 50 years on from that speech, we are still resonating that as an entrepreneur, because we don't know the how. And, you know, if we're to put it in context, we know that we can, our brain will make us track the steps that we've come from, but the reality is we can't track the steps that we're moving to. So I have a dream of a better world, of an inclusive world, of a role, of a world that everybody plays a part, because everybody is intrinsically part of that wonderful tapestry. It is the reason why we're all here. So as an entrepreneur, I think what gives us the resilience is that purpose-driven goal. And then it's peeling back and saying, okay, I've got a dream, then I've now got to put in the goals, but who could have predicted COVID? So the reality is we have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like. And being resilient and being flexible is what gives us the ability to keep plowing on, because ultimately it's the mind. There's a wonderful thing that I talk about, the famous failures, and Michael Jordan was cut from his team. Walt Disney, 100-year-old company, or Disney, 100-year-old company, you know, was sacked from a job for not being creative. Really? Beethoven, I read recently, was deaf, right? So as an entrepreneur, that resilience, it's regardless of your environment, you're still able to push through. If Beethoven was deaf and still composed some of the best symphonies, or Walt Disney was fired for not being creative, and in every aspect of life, Walt Disney still exists as a 100-year-old company in different aspects, I think that's what drives us. And I think that, last of all, let me just say, because as you can see, I'm buzzing, but I want to give everyone else an opportunity. Last but not least, I think that, you know, they say that necessity is the mother of all inventions. I think that the crisis we're going through is going to spring more entrepreneurs, but purpose-driven entrepreneurs, because the reality is to serve is the way we're going to change the world, and the more things that we need to solve problems with is my ultimate vision, that it is going to get better, and it's through us as entrepreneurs.
Thank you for sharing two key words there: resilience and flexibility, to be able to evolve in business. All right, so I can see a hand raised up. Alison Turley, she's the founder of Convert World, and she's joined this podcast as well. Please talk to us.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, I'm joining late. Hi, Lisa. Lisa and I've met, and I've been very lucky to have met Lisa. I'd just like to come say hello to everyone. Sorry, I've only joined now. I've been running around looking after children, as is I want. I just thought it was an interesting thing that Yinka made about the point of, particularly about Beethoven, and something that Lisa said, where she says, you know, when she walks into situations, all she's seeing is the solutions while everyone's discussing the problem. I think that one of the things that has been a part of my journey that I've noticed, and I believe Lisa and I are on the same board with this, is that often the conversations in your head like Beethoven, heard his fifth symphony in his head while he was deaf. Often the conversations and the solutions that you have in your head, the immediate end point, for me, what has often been, which often takes a lot of my resilience, is actually trying to communicate that into a world. So you're creating a disruptor. I think there was the word was used before, disruptor. I like to use the word anarchy. You almost have these ideas that are disruptive, that are anarchy. And then you're trying to almost retrofit them into a world that, whose conversation has created those problems in the first place. And in my journey, since I first thought of Convert, you know, in 2015, in my journey has often been that I found that what depletes a lot of my energy, that takes a lot of my resilience, is recognizing that the conversation I'm having, the music I'm hearing in my head, is not being heard or understood in the world that I'm trying to fit it. And I'll never forget, somebody once said to me, a teacher once said to me, you know, when you're doing, most people, when they go onto stepping stones, will jump 1, 2, 3. You tend to go right to the end and then into the middle and then, you know, around. And I find that for me as an entrepreneur and as somebody who's absolutely passionate around trying to provide a solution I believe I can hear in my head, and that, as Lisa says, seems so simple to me to apply, to change the world. It's like a language I'm speaking that, you know, into a world that speaks a different language. And that has been something, meeting Lisa and just sometimes touching base with her and being able to hear the same language and speak the same language, mm-hmm, has been a huge comfort. And I think a lot of people, certainly myself, until I met Lisa, felt very alienated and alone. And yes, I was told often to go out and just get a job. So yeah, that's really just what I wanted to share is that I think that the resilience is also around, needed is also around the aloneness you can feel with the music in your head when nobody else, everyone seems to be dancing to a different tune. So that's all I wanted to say, and how grateful I am to begin to be moving into groups of people and meeting groups of people who have the same music.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you should talk about that, because I was just wondering if entrepreneurs are neurodivergent. You know, I know I am, but I think we think differently, we see things differently, and so we do things differently. And it's that part of fitting in, you know, I feel like the workplace can be a party, but you can be invited to it, doesn't mean that you're going to have a dance. And we want to dance, but we want to dance in a way that fits with how we think and how we rationalize and things. So I was just wondering, you know, because when I think of some of the most, you know, I'm going to use the word successful, although I think it might be the most fulfilled entrepreneurs, because everybody measures success in a different way. And you start to look at how they are, how they relate to others. They really do think differently and they act differently. And they just want to create an ecosystem whereby they and others who are along that thought process and who see the vision can help to bring it to actualization. Does anybody else have that thought as well? I see a thumbs up. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But how do we persevere? It's a big question for me. How is it that we're able to persevere, knowing that the resilience is important, what we think differently, we're not going to fit into the system as everybody else is. We want to create our own ecosystem and yet continue to work with others. So that inclusiveness is very important for us. And we want to be engaged and engage with others. So how do we persevere? What makes it? You know, what is that? Je ne sais quoi, the key ingredient for you that you've noticed?
If I can jump in again, for me, I'm not even sure it is a choice. After all this time, it was officially labeled burnout. I didn't know what it was that happened when, you know, various things went wrong at the end of 2021. And I felt I couldn't go further. There was no dancing lights or answers in my head. And I thought, okay, this is the end of it then. You know, this is the end of my inner tune. It's over, but it comes back. So I think for me, I'm not even sure it's been a choice, the perseverance. It just keeps coming. Just when I've thought I've really reached the end of everything, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go, oh, I wonder if, and I'm off on another thought. What has, as I've got older, I'm 56 now, and this has been going on for a while. What I have thought is around the perseverance, I do think that there needs to be a lot more self-care. Mm-hmm. In order to, for me to try and bridge my resilience and my ideas with hopefully real change, because that's, I think, what we all really want to do. We want to have that impact. We want to see that. We want to be able to see that those cogs shift in the world that can create, I'm guessing for all of us, what we see and perceive as a more equitable world, a more just world in whatever our tune takes us. But what I've realized is that I actually am not going to achieve that if I don't take the time to care for myself. And it struck me, having spoken to a lot of people now more recently, including Lisa, is that I do think one of the things about somebody who is driven, who is an entrepreneur, who has, you know, who has sees the world differently, I do wonder that really perhaps a secret ingredient that we should all be told right at the beginning is self-care. Mm-hmm. Take the time out to be mindful. Take the time out to meditate. Take the time out just to be okay with where you at. I mean, it sounds all a bit, you know, a bit pat. But as I'm trying to do it, so I'm finding myself more effective in whatever I am trying to do. So for me, I don't think there's a choice. It's going to carry on whether I like it or not. Sometimes I look at people who are going off to work at 9 o'clock in the morning here in Surrey. And I think there's a certain amount of envy that that is their world and it looks great. And they're all going to go on holiday at some stage and they're going to get paid for that holiday. And, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. And very much like Lisa, I've been a freelancer in all sorts of industries and have only, at 56, I can't remember the last time. A very 56 years, yeah. Self-care, self-love will help for me, I think.
Yeah, and it's funny, Alison, I'm hearing you speak, and I alluded to the fact that we actually need to know each other and know our strengths, and which for me is a form of knowing thyself, being authentic to oneself, and being able to take that strength forward. I think an interesting fact, and I do come from a large corporate background before I walked off and became an entrepreneur over 20 years ago. When we sort of are asked, what characteristics would you describe yourself? A lot of us, and me included, would say, I'm a self-starter. So you put me in any situation, I will take stock, look at what there is, pick up, and go. That, I think, probably describes everybody on this call and everybody who is an entrepreneur, because that is why they are entrepreneurs. They have looked around and decided, I need to do this, get up and go. And along that journey, because it is a journey, there is that self-discovery that needs to be done. There is that embracing the authentication that needs to be done, the self-love you've talked about, because that is what gives us the strength. I meet people and they all tell me, you're so passionate, you're so inspiring. And I look at them like, yeah, this is me. This is the way I am. Maybe I'm a handful when I look at myself in the mirror and it comes back at me. But we are passionate, and I'm seeing other people smile. I know we're all the same because we start talking and we're all jumping off each other and bouncing ideas. Mm-hmm. But that is what's making us stick. This is where we find that inner inspiration to say, I feel like I'm with kindred spirits. They're, you're stoking my enthusiasm and I'm stoking yours, and I'm being able to move on. So it is a form of embracing who you are, where your thoughts are coming from, your strengths. And yes, self-care is very important. If you don't have the energy to do it. I mean, sometimes I know at the end of the day, I look back and I think like, oh, I wish I had 60 hours in a day instead of 24, because I still haven't done. And I do catch myself saying this quite a lot. You know, you go to sleep with a tick list of what still hasn't been done, waiting for the next day. And there were times early on in my my entrepreneurship journey when I would lie awake, panic, work myself into a sweat, not sleep. So the next day I'm absolutely exhausted and still not have ticked off the things on my list. Now I'm a bit calmer and say, okay, this is what I'm doing for today. That's my priority. The list is long. I'll get through it in my time. And I have learned to actually take on what I can take on rather than just go, you know, barging forward into it, trying to do everything in a very short period. And that comes back into knowing your strengths, doing the plan, and letting the resilience help me through. Because if I do too much, I'm going to burn out and I will do nothing. And I think that's another really important thing. So it's the self-care, it's the ability to know oneself, be authentic to each other. And actually, as Dr. Ama said before, collaborate, because we gain strength from the collaborations we do. Sorry, I'm hogging the airtime. I'll be quiet now.
Not at all.
This is the Thinking Reimagined podcast, sponsored by Allied Empowerment. Allied Empowerment Consultancy offers leadership and innovation through bespoke human development solutions, brain-based leadership, and coaching. Allied Empowerment empowers business leaders, teams, and individuals to intentionally accentuate desired outcomes built on trust, curiosity, psychological safety, engagement, and communication. Allied Empowerment, thriving in a sustainable and valued manner.
There's so much energy in the room, you know, hearing entrepreneurs who've done this for decades, you know, share their story of resilience and flexibility. Meklit and Angie have joined us. We'd like to hear from you as well. But just before you speak, get ready to say something. Lisa, your name has been mentioned 1,000 times in this conversation. Very quickly, what has been your secret as well, evolving over the years?
For me, I'd say it's mainly believing in my solutions and kind of like just going for that and kind of what is it blocking the white noise? And I think that's what it's been. I mean, truly believing in my solutions and, you know, wondering why and nobody else is in that space. So when I meet people like Alison or I hear Noreen speak, you're like, oh, my God, like, yeah, like what you're saying, you're not navigating this alone in the world, and that there are people who actually see it the way that you do. But it's weird sometimes that, yeah, they're not necessarily in the spaces that you're in, but maybe that's why you're in those spaces, to be able to give those solutions. And even like when I'm working within the Swahili community, or I'm doing this regenerative fashion, discovering fiber that has never been done, or at least was done in my case 1500 years ago, until when the Portuguese came and burnt down our factories in 1500, these things were going on in my, you know, in my backyard. And so I'm like, but why didn't anybody else pick it up? I mean, am I wrong for like seeing that the answers are all here and nobody else is seeing it? So yeah, so there's that self-love has to come in, where you have to believe in yourself more than anybody else, because there's nobody else. Most of the time in your particular space. And I don't think there's supposed to be anybody else, because you have to be the solution there, somebody else has to be whatever. But I think all of us, wherever in those little microcosms we're in, we need to do the collaboration and find each other to be able to keep going.
Indeed, we must find each other, keep going. Meklit, are you there?
Yeah, hello everyone. Lisa, thank you very much for being invited by Lisa. Say my entrepreneurial journey is a bit shorter when I compare to most of you. But I've been relating too much to everything that I've been saying and nodding my head. Let me probably turn my camera on so that you can do justice to the face. I'm about to pick up my kids. I'm a mother of three as well, and juggle between work and so on. Can you see me now?
No, we can't see you. Right. Oh, there you are. Hello.
Hey. Thanks, Lisa, for inviting me here. I do relate to most of the things that have been said. Neurodivergence. I work with a professor in adult learning, and she said, you are definitely neurodivergent. So I find myself in whatever you're saying right now. I'm learning to love myself as well. This is a new thing that I'm discovering. Throughout, you know, I've been part of big projects, and I always think, why am I the only one, why am I the only one thinking this way? Why aren't things taught differently? Why are people not looking at impact and community and love? And what I find within the business community that I'm dealing with is that there's no love towards the kind of space business they do. It's very much finance oriented, and the love is probably towards the money. So most people say, can you please separate your person and your business? Why are you linking it up? And I would say, no, but my business is who I am. I cannot differentiate. The way I think, the way I see this world, and this is the way I want to work in the business world. So they say, you won't be able to succeed. I've been listening to this rhetoric for the last 10 years. I do not believe in that. I really do not believe in that. But 80% of business that succeeded around where I've worked in have this mentality, and they call it smart. Is it smart? This is a question I ask myself. So anyway, to cut myself short, I've been burned out. I'm a software engineer. I've worked for the UN quite a long time. And the reason why I came out from the UN while I could have earned better is because I do not believe in the institution, and you'll be shocked to hear that. In the institution, in bringing the real change a community or the continent, my continent, Africa, which would need. Been there 60 years, 70 years. I see most of our fabrics have gone wrong. Most of our socio-economic fabrics, most of the African countries have gone wrong. And I see huge money going in. So a bit about me. Still trying to discover myself, head so busy. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the energy. I love the energy, and I'm here to learn and partake the energy. Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution. You know, Meklit made a very important point here, talking about the fact that behind the numbers and the business, there is the person, and you have to do something that you truly love. Yinka, do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I've been itching. So everything that everyone has said, I completely resonate. The journey of, do I get a job? The journey of, how come everyone else is doing something and I'm feeling different? The journey of the internal struggle. Should I just do whatever? I think I've come to a point, or coming to a point, and it's lovely to be part of such a mini tribe with people feeling the same, because that's also encouraging. But I think that when I feel alone, what I've understood is that the world isn't right. Okay, it's always going to be a journey, not a destination. So we're never going to reach that point where we feel right. Okay, it's done. And what I mean by the world isn't right, as Meglit said, you know, I go into supermarket and I talk to people, right? And I just think that we are so involved in ourselves as society, we're forgetting that beyond everything is an individual, is a person. The world isn't right, right? The world isn't right that we set up Africa's sustainable trade, right? Why? Because Africa as a continent probably has 50% of the world resources. In 2050, we'll have a majority of the young people who
the we young are people. Here to serve,
right? And yet 86 to 87%, if not 90% of the population live under poverty. But yet we're flying to the moon, we're going to Mars. The world isn't right. So it needs different thinkers, because if we were in the wrong side of it, then the world would be better. Because basic, right, is in today's world, everyone should have a roof over their head, everyone should have water, and everyone should have food. Success is, as Dr. Amos said, is really a personal, is really a personal definition. But let's talk about basics. Basics, those are the basics. When we have us treating each other like individuals, I mean, you know, if you take your dog for a walk and you see another dog, they communicate. How are you? Hello. You know, the world isn't right when we have to fight for equity. The world isn't right when we marginalize communities. So it is going to take us as entrepreneurs to think differently. And if this is a world of motivation, right, that to hold with, every change, every revolution has actually been done by one person, whether it's a Luther King, whether it's a Mahatma Gandhi, whether it's Mother Teresa. It's typically been done with one person who has a strong belief, regardless. I mean, I think we're still fighting racism, we're still fighting sexism, we're fighting all of these things. And Martin Luther King had a speech 50 plus years ago. The world isn't right. So whenever you were told by your environment that you're doing something wrong, actually encourage yourself and say, I am actually doing it right. Because if the world was right, then we wouldn't find these solutions, or we wouldn't have these problems that need solutions. that's my 2 pence worth.
Fantastic contribution. Let's hear from Vanessa.
Yes, I think that was more than 2 pence. Won't you agree?
Thank you.
I think Vanessa says she's struggling. Vanessa, for those who don't know, is calling in from Brazil, and she's sent a message that she doesn't have any power, so she's on her phone, and her connectivity is not stable. But she is there, and hopefully she will speak. She will join us again in case she's just gone out for a moment. Vanessa, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you, but my connection is breaking, so I cannot hear you clearly. This is why I'm not talking too much.
Well, please feel free to join us right now whilst the connection is clear, because we're speaking about the experience of being an entrepreneur and what are the characteristics or the traits that you think are important or you have feel that have helped you to continue to succeed as an entrepreneur. That's what we were discussing.
Yes, I listen. Well, what I could say is that the entrepreneurship, the female entrepreneurship, what I could see, and I'm an entrepreneur also, and most of the persons that were talking were women, is that involved the universe of women, right? And I think for us, that is no power off button, right? We cannot give up because we are mothers, we are friends, we are wives. So this is what I could see. We don't have time to give up, right? Mm. So this is something that is about our universe, right? And this is something that is really, really peculiar to us.
Right. So what I hear here is we don't give up. I don't think any of us have given up. And if anything, we're even more motivated to move forward, because we believe in what we've taken on and what we believe that our contribution will be to humanity. You know, one of the things that I've noticed very often in the last several years is this need to have empathy and compassion, which entrepreneurs very much embrace, and actually is becoming a trait that's being looked for in the business world with leaders. And I'm just curious, what are your thoughts about that? Because in the corporate world, and I've been in the corporate world for many decades before I decided, you know what, it's time for me to go off and just do what I really want to do. And I did not see that compassion and empathy. And as an entrepreneur, I embrace it. You know, I think that when you bring people together, when you create a team, part of that diverse group and inclusivity is not just knowing yourself, but knowing the other person and having good communication. And we all communicate very well. So would you say that those are some of the things that you celebrate as a resilient entrepreneur? And I'm also curious to know how you measure your success. And again, for me, it's not about financial success, but that individual sense of fulfillment, which I always go back to the word of intentionality. You know, when you understand your intentionality, then you can set the goals that are measurable for you, whether as a person or as the entrepreneur.
I love that you brought that up, Dr. Amma, because I think that, and I think Narina also talked about, or Meglet, somebody talked about the difference between it's not business, it's business is personal, right? And I think we do, because our job is our person. Our person is our job. And when you link that with empathy, and I think that that's actually what makes us really good entrepreneurs, but also that's our Achilles heel at the same time. But when I talk and to put this into context, when I talk about communication, I say communication on basic levels is send and receive. I'm sending, you're receiving at the moment, right? And the misconception is that when we're building a communication plan for a client, right, half the time they want to talk about all the things they do, and we do this and we do this and we must tell people. And I think that's great, but who are you talking to? Because ultimately, it's who you're talking to. And as an empath, you're a better communicator because you spend more time listening than speaking. And by doing that is only when you truly make the connection with somebody, right? I can speak all day long and you think, yeah, I know everything about Yinka, but how much do I know about you? And the connection is only going to be made by me understanding you. So I think that we will feel that pain more than most, but it almost is what's needed, because we've become too nonchalant about life. We've become too nonchalant about lives. Look at that. There's a war. There's a war in practically every continent at the moment. In 2023, I refuse to accept that as status quo. I think, and this is my not entrepreneur that comes in and says, I think if you're elected as a leader, right, the first charter should be you're not allowed to go to war with anyone, right? Now, some will say, yeah, that's nuts, because it isn't, because if Lisa and I are working together and we can't find an amicable way to overcome our differences, and we have to go into a war, that can't be right. So empathy is perhaps what makes us entrepreneurs in a way, because we see a solution, we see the status quo, and it's just not good enough. It must be better. And one of the things that holds me really through is that I tend to take every day and say, what are the three things? How can I show up and be my best self today? Regardless, because I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea. I'm lucky to be in London, right? But, you know, my partner's in Nigeria and you know, I see the challenges. You have no idea if you're going to have internet or you're going to have connection issues or they're going to take. But I have, of course, we have different battles. I just had a set of twins, right? And every day is completely different. No idea what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. But also they give me that learning of life, because I'm learning to dance with patience. And I call patience is that beautiful woman that I've just never got to engage with. I try it, and just when I think I've got the tango right, she says no, you know. So, but having these twins gives me that, because whatever state I'm in, I could have, you know, thrown up over my shirt, I still have to come to a meeting. Sorry, I've got my baby poo. So those are the kind of things that I think are real. And I love that when they're hungry, they're gonna bawl out. They're not thinking, oh my God, you know, mom's tired and she hasn't, and dad's on a call or whatever. They're hungry, they need a change, they're gonna bawl out. And I think that that's the natural sense that we as entrepreneurs are fighting for. We're fighting for us to be ourselves. Authenticity in communication is, if there's one word, I say it's being authentic. Because whatever you're communicating, it's about being, it's about communicating your authentic self. Last but not least, I hate to hug this up and I want to absorb everyone. I grew up with a father who said, do they have two heads, right? If I brought my school report, which usually wasn't very good, he'll say, but the person to go first, do they have two heads? And when I think of the driving force internally that drives my mind, anyone that's doing something that's making a difference in the world, I think, do they have two heads? And that's why I researched the Beethoven's and all of the past successes, because when you look, actually peel back, they have been different. They have fought through adversities, they fought through challenges. And that's really my secret that gives me hope that, okay, you know what? It may seem like it's all going nuts around me and everyone disagrees. Yinka, go and get a job. Honestly, I mean, really, trying to change the world, really, why do you think big? And I think, yeah, but all the greats didn't go to a 9-to-5 and change, you know, and make change. There we go. There's my 4 pence worth.
Yeah. It's about life and being authentic in all that we do. And if, as entrepreneurs, we are authentically living our lives. I like that. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Oh, someone's got their hand up. Is that Alison? Please, Alison, please just speak. Yes.
A convent training, what can I say? My German nuns taught me to put my hand up. It's an interesting thing. It's this authentic, and what I touched on about before about and coming back to what Yinka said about communication, and you know, and I think somebody else mentioned about how passionate we are when we speak. You know, we look at ourselves in the mirror sometimes and go, oh my God, you know, shush, be quiet, I can hear it myself in my head. And what something I've started doing, and coming back to your point, is also listening. I do think that is a lesson I've had to learn personally as an entrepreneur, because I get so caught up in my passion and my idea. And because I've been alone so much, you know, the conversation is sort of like in my head. So if there's anybody, unfortunately for them, in my vicinity, I'll open, you know, it'll come out of my head, out of my mouth, and it'll just flow. And recently I've also with the joy of meeting Lisa, I've started listening, and that's helped as well. And then more recently, my passion is around Africa and around the I have this driving desire to create equity. I'm done, you know, as we've all said, we all know the worth and the value of Africa. But one thing I've done recently is starting to listen again. Listen to the people I'm passionate about, both on my continent where I was born, and also I'm in England at the moment. I'm listening to the generation, Gen Z, who I'm sort of dedicating this drive to, because I think, you know, the youth across the globe are inheriting a bit of a mess from the likes of my age group. And the listening is changing my world. So again, coming to that point about, you know, when you are passionate about something, sometimes I'm learning my lesson recently is having, starting with Lisa, where I started listening again, because there was somebody who was talking my language. It allowed me to calm down. And by calming down, I could then stop talking about my passion and start listening to why I'm passionate. So I was fed again by the very people that I'm passionate about making this change for. And that has been incredible. So I'm going up again, I think next weekend, to Durham University to their sustainable and fashion show. And I'm really excited because I was in a room with them several weeks ago and just listening to it, coming in again to me and just being quiet and listening to the people I'm passionate about making my change for in that instance. And then the same happens when I'm back in Nairobi. The listening sometimes has been a lesson. And here I am talking too much anyway again, so I shall stop. But yeah, I've one thing I have learned. Sometimes tula wena and listen.
Beautiful.
Powerful.
Listening, amazing. In business. Thank you for sharing that. We're coasting home now. I'd like us to give a final remarks and perhaps we can break it down to our experience. For instance, Noreen, you started in 2007. You might want to tell us precisely what you think has kept you for that long period of time. That's about 18 years, right? Let's just give a final remark and perhaps give us specifically what you think has been that key strategy for you that has kept you in business for this long. We'll begin with Noreen.
Thank you, Nefemi. I think it's an urge to continue learning about my profession, myself, my business, the world. And when I feel like I'm getting to a stage that's slowing down slightly, I just reinvent the direction and go in another direction based on my gut instincts, research, and what the world is telling me. And it's worked for me time and time and time again. It's reinventing yourself and not standing still, but reinventing yourself in a calculated, researched, and good manner. So I'm not just going everywhere and just scattergun shooting.
Thank you for sharing. Reinvent yourself, but you know, you need calculated research to make that apt and precise. Powerful statement, Noreen. Thank you for sharing. Who else has their final comments for us before we go?
I've got a quote which helps me through, and it's ultimately about progress. And progress is measurable only when you look back, because the truth is that sometimes we're looking forward and thinking, "Have I made progress today?" But you never know. So the podcast or that random person that you meet or something that wasn't planned a month ago that you do is actually what gives you that huge shift in progress. And it's a quote that I actually have on my Instagram page. And it says that the unreasonable person adapts themselves to the world. Sorry, no, the unreasonable person adapts themselves to the world. The reasonable person adapts themselves to the world, right? The unreasonable person persists in trying to adapt the world to themselves. Therefore, progress depends on the unreasonable person. So every time we're being told we're unreasonable, just remember that it's the unreasonable that actually is going to create the progress and create the change in the world that we want to see.
Wow. Oh, that's a powerful statement. You know, I was thinking about that question, Nefemi, and I have often thought that very often people go through life tunnel vision. You know, you go to school, you go to uni, you get a job, da 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 da. And for us entrepreneurs, our aperture is so wide because we can see beyond our peripheral vision. We can see things. I see things. I almost feel like I'm walking towards what it is that I am supposed to be doing and experiencing. So having a mindset that is open to experience, to live, to embrace what is different, to embrace what is unknown, not to be scared, to take risk. That's what has kept me going, but also the intentionality of how I wish to live. I think all of us can go and get a job and collect a salary, but I know that I've done that before and I didn't find it fulfilling. I felt that I was narrowed. I want to live to the fullest extent. And for that to occur, I have to open my aperture, I have to learn. So it's a lifelong process for me as an entrepreneur. And I will, like Noreen say, always be open to change, always reinvent myself, always be flexible. So there's a flexibility that's also necessary for us as entrepreneurs. Thank you.
Since no one does great things collecting salaries, Dr. Abba, perhaps we'll have that conversation.
What did you say?
Well, I said it seems no one does great things collecting salaries.
Lisa was going to say something. Please go ahead, Lisa.
And I was just going to say that, yes, like what you were saying, the thing about staying open. And I think when you stay open, you're coming from a space of no fear. So it's breaking that fear. And I think to be an entrepreneur, you really cannot have the regular fear that most people have. You have to be a little bit of a risk taker. I always say I take calculated risks, but that's because of that being able to see ahead. So it's not that. I feel that it's a very calculated risk that I'm taking. I don't think that I jump into anything blindly, because if it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it, right? So that's not blind. So as long as it feels good, I'm going to do it. And I really don't, I broke my fear barrier when I just started having an abundance mentality. I think all the systems that were put in by the patriarchy are all scarcity mentality things, where you're having to collect a salary. Having to collect a salary, you're already in a scarcity mentality. I don't restrict myself with numbers. Even when I give business plans, Alison can attest to this, I have no numbers. I said, because it's infinite. You know, I'm like, it's infinite. How do you want me to break it down? I said, I do not limit myself. I have no limits to what I'm going to earn and what the business is going to do. So I don't do the numbers. I hire somebody else to do the numbers. Because I come from this, the world is abundant. And that's why I fear there's no competition. That's the other thing. I can't try business ones because I don't see competition. I don't see limits to the earnings. I don't see any of those things because, the world is abundant and we can do whatever we're able to. And if you what it says, like, if you can dream it, you'll achieve it, right?
It's a beautiful mind, Lisa. You should write a book, The Mind of Lisa.
Alison, please, do you have some final words, and Macklett as well?
I'm just going to say my final word is around part of myself. Help that I'm doing at the moment is getting back to trying to do a meditation every day, and I use Tara Brach, who does free meditations. And one yesterday when I did wake up, because sometimes, unlike Lisa, I do wake up with a lot of fear, like I don't have a house in January, I don't have this, and all these things sometimes hit me. And her message in her guided meditation was just yes. Don't worry, you know, find it in your body, the fear, the worry, the concern, and just don't try and change it or challenge it. Just go yes. So for me, that's my final word, is that is what I'm trying to do again, to try and download that, is to recognize that in my life as an entrepreneur, there's going to be things that, you know, when I do, especially when you sometimes bridge both worlds and you sort of got one, you've got one foot in rentals and kids and everything else, and the other foot in your mind, just say yes. So for me, that's it. It's just, I'm going to say yes. And teamed with that is what I call positive nihilism. Is that I'm just going to, I'll do what I can do. If it changes, it changes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm just going to say yes. And I'm going to be a positive nihilist.
Thank you. Macklett is still with us. Macklett, if you turn on your camera and just share with us your final thoughts.
It's just that I'm in school with my son, so I had to take off. apologies. But final word. I think for me, what keeps me going is my vision and the fact that you know, I believe in the solutions and the ideas and the thinking. And I think I, as much as I love myself, I love people. I love people, and I just want them to enjoy similar opportunity at least, or same lifestyle as I do, or even more. So those are things that keeps me going. And the other thing is, for some reason, I always see a solution in problems. So I just say, if I cannot do it, who else is going to do it? So there is that constant reflection and mindset of, you know, trying to solve situations and problems. So, yeah. Yeah. This is it.
Well, thank you
for your contribution. Yeah, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Alison. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nori. Peter has also been around. Get well soon. Thank you, everyone. By the way, the next time you see Yinka or Yigoke, call him Bye-bye, Beji. Bye-bye, Beji. He's for father of twins. Congratulations. Dr. Ama, fantastic conversation.
It has been a fantastic conversation, as always. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We look forward to having you again. I mean, continue to be resilient entrepreneurs, because we are making a difference. Thank you so much, and enjoy the day. Be well.
Thank you very much. Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
This has been a Thinking Reimagined podcast.
The executive producer is Dr. Ama. Co-producer Peter Ammon Boyle.
The podcast is edited by Nelken, and it is moderated by Nifemi Okuntoyin.
Thinking Reimagined emphasizes the importance of transformational conversations, which have as their aim the bringing about of the rich diversity of thoughts and, most importantly, powerful and applicable effective solutions and change.
The views, opinions, and contributions of the panelists are exclusively theirs and do not reflect the opinions of Thinking Reimagined producers or personnel. Thank you for listening,
and we hope you have enjoyed this episode.
We invite you to subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and other outlets.
We look forward to presenting another riveting episode next week.
Thinking Reimagined podcast is produced by Live Abundantly.
We welcome your thoughts and invite you to visit our website, livesabundantly.com.
Or you can follow us on social media on Live Abundantly 8.
Thinking Reimagined, changing the mindset for a better global society.